seems quite appropriate that we turn now to the 20th chapter of the book of Judges in our reading through that book. Sin has consequences. Whether it's personal sin, your sin, sometimes that no one else but God seems to know about, or whether it's corporate sin, as we see here in this 20th chapter. Chapter 20 focuses on the destruction of the tribe of Benjamin because of the sin of the city of Gibeah. We saw that in the last chapter. What we see here is God's righteous judgment being exercised on his own people, not the pagan Canaanites of the land, but Israel. You remember that the nameless Levite had sent a rather gruesome message to the tribes of Israel, one piece of his dead concubine to each tribe. And that message had rallied Israel in anger. 400,000 soldiers, armed men, come to Mizpah, a city about 5 miles north of where Gibeah was located. And even the tribes from the east side of the Jordan, those who lived more or less far away, Gilead, came as well. There's a tragic irony here in that three times in this 20th chapter they are said to be united against a brother. These are the same folk who have failed to unite together and drive the Canaanites out of the promised land. These are the same people who have let paganism seep into their lives and corrupt the worship of God. But not only are the tribes, the 11 tribes, united, Benjamin is united too. They refuse to allow justice to be done. They aren't going to let anyone punish the people of Gibeah for even the most heinous of crimes. And although greatly outnumbered, the text tells us they're a formidable force. Have you seen in these chapters how the writer is touching on the broad scope of Israel's wickedness? It's not just confined to the city of Gibeah. Think about it. Almost every individual that we've read about in the last couple of chapters displays the depravity of sin in their lives. The concubine had been unfaithful and then had fled back to her father's house. The husband, this Levite with no name, he is a selfish coward who looks out only for himself and throws his concubine out to the depravity in the street. And now, we'll see, he selectively manipulates the story to gain his revenge on Gibeah. And then there's this whole tribe, Benjamin, who would rather defend the perversity of Gibeah rather than practice justice. What we see here is that sin is pervasive. And another little reminder, this is soon after they have entered the promised land. Soon after 40 years in the wilderness and seen God's hand provide and care for, has seen victory after victory, and yet sin has taken over. The root of it all is that each man was doing what was right in his own eyes, the writer tells us. And yet when Israel asks, who will lead us? The answer from God, and they do consult God, is the same answer that he'd given at the beginning of the book of Judges. When they went into battle against the Canaanites, he says, Judah shall go up first. The difference here is that he does not promise them victory. Without King Jesus, born of the tribe of Judah, sin is irrepressible and eternally deadly. I'm going to read just the first 18 verses of this rather long chapter this morning. But as we do, hear now the word of the Lord. Then all the people of Israel came out from Dan to Beersheba, including the land of Gilead. And the congregation assembled as one man to the Lord at Mizpah. And the chiefs of all the people, of all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 men on foot that drew the sword. Now the people of Benjamin heard that the people of Israel had gone up to Mizpah, And the people of Israel said, "Tell us, how did this evil happen?" And the Levite, the husband of the woman who was murdered, answered and said, "I came to Gibeah that belongs to Benjamin, I and my concubine, to spend the night. And the leaders of Gibeah rose against me and surrounded the house against me by night. They meant to kill me, and they violated my concubine, and she is dead. So I took hold of my concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed abomination and outrage in Israel. Behold, you people of Israel, all of you, give your advice and counsel here." And all the people arose as one man, saying, "None of us will go to his tent, and none of us will return to his home. But now this is what we will do to Gibeah. We will go up against it by lot, and we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000 and 1,000 of 10,000 to bring provisions for the people. And when they come, they may repay Gibeah of Benjamin for all the outrage that they have committed in Israel." So all the men of Israel gathered against the city, united as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent men throughout all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What evil is this that has taken place among you? Now therefore give up the men, the worthless fellows in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and purge evil from Israel." But the Benjamites would not listen to the voice of their brothers, the people of Israel. Then the people of Benjamin came together out of the cities of Gibeah to go out to battle against the people of Israel. And the people of Benjamin mustered out of their cities on that day 26,000 men who drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, who mustered 700 chosen men. Among all these were 700 chosen men who were left-handed. Each one could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. And the men of Israel departed from Benjamin, mustering 400,000 men who drew the sword. All these were men of war. The people of Israel arose and went up to Bethel and inquired of God, "Who shall go up first for us to fight against the people of Benjamin?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up first." The story will continue next time, but again, this is sort of like a serial back in the old days. So you have to come back next Sunday to hear the rest.